Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Midtown Business Radio.
And next, we're going to talk to Elizabeth Kuntz with Bravado Capital Advisors. Hello, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. So tell us, who is Bravado Capital Advisors?
Bravado Capital Advisors is a partnership here in the Atlanta area working in the middle market businesses to provide full service investment banking. And by that we mean we do buying, selling, and helping businesses raise money for expansion. We try to provide full service New York style talent to the local business market here in Atlanta.
And what role do you fill in the marketplace?
We try to provide the same level of service that a high profile investment bank would provide. If you think about what you read about in the Wall Street Journal and the Goldman Sachs and the advising of clients doing the mega mergers, we try to work with the same level of professionalism and academic background and skills down in a smaller business, which is unique because the smaller businesses often present their own set of challenges due to the personal management style of the business, due to accounting issues that sometimes exist in privately owned businesses that would prefer not to show the IRS the full effect of their profitability. So we are often challenged, and the difficult process that we face is the market for those businesses is more difficult to determine. If you threw a big name up there in the paper and said that Apple was for sale, there'd be tons of people that would be interested. But when you put a business out there that no one's heard of, and it's typically named in a personal manner, it's very difficult to find a market for that business, to find the right place for it to go, to either be bought or to be financed. And making that market is something we specialize in.
Wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit how you got involved. I imagine you're very busy right now with tax season as well.
Actually, it is very busy this year. The middle market and the whole M&A market has really come back. It was pushed in 2012 due to tax legislation changes, which encouraged business owners to sell. And we found last year exceedingly slow due to the push forward into 2012 and due to the general economic uncertainty in the environment, the governmental regulation problems that were out there, the currency issues that were there, they all slowed a business owner from making a decision. This year, they seem to be on the positive side. The good news is that valuations are up market-wide. Both small businesses and big businesses are back commanding high prices. Financing market's back. The banks are willing to lend again. So all things point to a really busy season in 2014, which we are seeing in our current pipeline. How I got into it was that I went to get my master's in business, and while I dressed like a marketer and enjoyed the challenge of the personalization of marketing, I thought like a financier, and I needed numbers to make sense. And the way I crossed that path was by going into investment banking in the smaller end of the market where personal relationships matter. If I had chosen to launched my career in New York City, I could have done much the same financial analysis, but I would have done it in an impersonalized manner. I would have been a specialist in one particular thing for my whole career, and that really just wasn't of interest to me.
Yeah, excellent. Well, tell us why an investment banker when the cost can be larger than other options available?
Well, typically the idea of using an investment banker when you're buying or selling a business is that you want to present the level of professionalism out in the market that that person can provide you or that group can provide you. And more importantly, as I've indicated, in the market we specialize in, it's very difficult to determine the market. It's very difficult to find the appropriate sources. And competition always makes things better in our market. The more people that want to loan to you, or the more people that want to buy you, or the more people that want to talk to you, the more interest you can develop, the wider and better a range of opportunities you'll be presented. As we call it, a one-off, when one business owner is approached directly by another business owner for some kind of engagement, those have a very low chance of success. It's great to pursue them. They're interesting, but they typically don't actually come to fruition. So having someone out there who can create a sense of competition and or actually develop competition for you or what you're seeking is a benefit that's very hard to tangibly define.
What are the top three mistakes that business owners make by your assessment in selling businesses?
Well, the first one that comes to obvious mind is not being prepared. A lot of our business owners come to us in a reactionary posture where they've already been approached by some other entity for an involvement, or worse yet, they've had a family or personal health crisis and they see that they need to do something now. The problem with doing something now is often, as I've indicated, these businesses have been run, as we call it, as a lifestyle business, where the family or the owners have correctly run the business to their own benefit. But that is difficult to present to an outside world who wants to buy it from a financial perspective. So oftentimes we're working with recreating or restating or adjusting financials historically. The financials are not correctly kept, so we have to go back and adjust slash augment the financial statements. We oftentimes have to help the management provide another strong manager behind them, because it's very difficult to sell a business and eventually walk away from it if you are the business. So you need to have a management team and or a management vision in place that you can sell to the outside world. The mistake we often make or hear about is, you know, someone will come to market and then the buyer will say, well, what happens if you got hit by a truck tomorrow? And the answer is, my business dies. That's a difficult sell if you can't say, well, my associate so-and-so can step in and run the business for me. They're talented. They know what we've done. They understand our customers. So you need to have a business plan in place. You need to have a management team behind you and good financials. And lastly, it would be beneficial if you had a plan as opposed to being what we call reactionary, reacting to a crisis that has occurred. It'd be better if you were working towards a plan than if you were simply reactionary. You'll just have a better valuation and a better result in the market.
I believe we have a couple of people in the studio today that have sold businesses in the past that could probably speak on this as well. But when is the right time to sell your business?
Well, the obvious answer is everyone wants to sell at the top of a peak of a market. And as we all know from the stock market, that's very difficult to tell exactly when that is. If we had crystal balls, we'd all be retired and we'd all be wealthy from having perfect vision of the future. You need to sell when your business is in an upswing, when it has produced good results historically, but it is still able to demonstrate and justify a reasonable positive forecast for the future. Typically, when you're at the top of a peak, the future forecast looks a bit downsloped, so you need to sell just before the peak. Secondarily, you need to sell when the market is strong. As I've indicated earlier, indications are that the economic market is showing revitalization, lenders are back in the market, valuations are up. Those are things which one individual owner cannot control. But when those signs point positively in the business owner's direction, it's a good time for the business owner to consider selling.
And that brings me to the topic of exit strategy. Know that you need to have an exit plan in place. At what point would you say that you need to have that in place, and how would you do that, go about doing so?
Well, it's always nice to have one in mind from the very beginning. Building a business for the sake of building the business is exciting, it's fun, and it's a challenge. But if ultimately you can't realize a profit or a benefit from that business, it's less exciting and obviously disappointing at the end. That being said, you certainly don't have to have a firm time path. Exit strategies need to be flexible. They need to be changed. They need to be altered as circumstances require. But you should have a goal in mind all the time, and you should be working slightly towards that goal. All your steps, it's a long-term plan, and it needs to take that into place. Sometimes it changes. Sometimes you have family members that come into the business and all of a sudden they're interested in a generational transfer. Sometimes you look around you and you know you have no management team in place that would be interested in continuing the business upon your departure. So you may have one path in mind and you may venture to another as the business develops, but you should always have something in the long-term plan.
Tell us a little bit about other outside advisors that you should have on your team as a business owner.
Well, we often, Brivaldo Capital is often referred into a business by its other advisors, be that the legal team, be that the accounting team, even the wealth manager for the business owner, who recognizes that this is an asset that has significant value and impact on that family's long-term financial situation. So you need to have a strong team of financial advisors around you at all times, but when you are actually proposing an exit strategy, you need to make sure you have a strong corporate attorney, not a family business attorney, on board. You need to have an outside accounting firm which has been either familiar by reviewing your financial statements or is familiar with your business and industry, so they can help us present those financial statements in an appropriate manner. And it's advisable to have a wealth manager on board. Oftentimes we're approached by someone who will say, I want to sell my business and I want to retire. That's great. What do you need to retire? I don't know. Well, then it's very difficult for us to know if your business is going to allow you to retire, because sure, we can give you an estimate of what your business may be worth. But if you need a number X times four and your business is X times two, then somewhere you have to find the difference. So having a financial plan for your family in place often makes it easier to decide to sell a business.
And is having capital advisors on your team, is that something that's obtainable for small business owners, startups, and big choice companies that...
Well, we feel that we fit in the valuation of a business that is going to transact an issue between $5 and $50 million. We do work under that when appropriate, and we certainly would advise businesses that are smaller than that. We are a long-term engagement focus. We like working with young or small businesses to grow them to the size they need to be sold. That's what I mean by having a plan in place and executing on that plan. But our typical transaction size when we get the success fee is going to be in the $5 million to $50 million valuation range. That's our sweet spot. We are a retained firm, which means we have a small monthly fee that would be due to have our services provided. And then, of course, we're incentivized by the large success fee that we would receive when the business transaction actually closed. We do have engagements that last 6 to 9 to 12 months, so we have a long cycle. It is not a easy transaction to snap your fingers and sell a business of this size. So you do more than just the traditional real estate, put a sign in the yard, put an ad on the radio, put an ad on the internet, and say the business is for sale. It takes a lot more time than that.
Yeah, and imagine there's many layers to the onion there. As balancing the books, and I mean, that's just a very small fraction of what is involved. Well, how is the merger and acquisition placed today?
Actually, as I indicated, the market has really come back quite strongly in 2013 and 14. We think that's due to the fact that there is a lot of pent-up cash available for purchase. Strategic buyers are back, which is somewhat surprising. Most of the investment activity in the last few years has been with what we call private equity groups, where pools of funds have been looking to purchase businesses for their investors. Now, the private business owner, as well as the middle market business owner, is looking around and realizing that the internal growth they can generate with their own client base has maybe been maxed out, and that consolidation and acquisition will fuel future growth. So what we see is that valuations have gone up. These two types of buyers are competing for businesses now, and that's good from a business owner's point of view. And additionally, leverage has come back. We are not back to the boom, boom days of the LBOs with 20% down and 80% bank debt, but we are back to 50-50. And so it is possible in our market to get 50% of the financing from outside of you and your friends and the business's pockets, which again leads to higher market valuations, higher multiples, stronger activity, and the sense of competition is back.
Well, excellent. Well, that was all very great information. Let our listeners know how we can reach out and get in touch and learn more about your company.
Well, Bravaldo Capital Advisors is on the web at bc-advisors.com, or you can spell the whole thing out, Bravaldo Capital Advisors with an S.com. Our office number is 404-857-2221, and our founding partner, Donald Bravaldo, is there, as well as myself and some other our associates.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.